Everybody hear me? Sure enough. All right. Did I mention? That just blessed my heart tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Every one of y'all's got something in this room, I pray, to mention that God's done for you. You can take a breath right now, and that's something you can mention for Him tonight. He put that breath in your lungs. He seemed fit to get you here safely tonight. Praise Him for that. But don't just praise God in His house. Take it out. Shine that light. That's what He's called us to do. Don't keep it to yourself, because what good is that? Yes, it might help us, but if we spend our lives building up ourselves instead of building up Jesus Christ and His kingdom, what are we doing it for? Why are we living our lives like that? Why would we not want to live our lives all in for Jesus tonight? Whew. If I could title this tonight, it would be, how are you living your life? If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 18, verse number 18. I just want to thank God tonight. I don't even know why I'm feel led to tell this, but I'm going to tell it. When I was born early, about what, 5 weeks, Mama? You was there. And my lungs were not developed good yet. And the best way they described it to me was when I'd breathe in, my lungs would stay together. It couldn't just breathe out. And through that circumstance, you wouldn't see much hope there. If you can't breathe, you can't live. And God allowed to give my daddy the wisdom to tell that doctor to carry on with this stuff. It's like dish soap. Put it in there and lather it up and to be able to breathe. And them lungs didn't stick no more. And I know a church family here, some of y'all might not have been a part of it then, but I know some that were. Sister Kim was there and Brother Kevin. And God just seen me through then, all through my life, from my birth. That same God that put that breath in my lungs is the same God that called me to ministry. It's the same God who wants to sing and praise His name through my heart. I might have an old soul. I might be like an old man, but I thank God for that. Because it's not about me. It's all about Him tonight. And Luke, if you'll stand with me, Luke 18, verses 18 through 27. It says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these I have kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Y'all listen up here, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, Praise God, that the things which are impossible with men are possible with my God not. Let us pray. Father God, I come to you right now, humbly in my lowest estate, God. Lord Jesus, I come and I'm in over my head, Father. But I thank you, Lord, that you've seen me through so many storms in my life, so many valleys, and you brought me to them mountaintops, God. I thank you for the breath in my lungs, Lord, that's so undeserving, Father. But I thank you for your mercy, Lord, that while you was on that cross, I was on your mind, God. I thank you for every person in this room, God. And I pray that you search their hearts, Lord. Search them from the inside out, God. And if something don't align with your word and align with you, God, I pray you bring it to their light, Lord, and they do something about it tonight, God. Lord, I pray that you break chains tonight, Lord, because you are the chain breaker, Lord, that you change lives, God. I pray that you would be uplifted and Satan would just tremble, Lord, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, I pray you move in a mighty way tonight, Lord. I thank you for your sweet spirit in this place, Lord, and I'm so un- worthy, Lord, to be in this position to give you glory. But Lord, I'm going to give you glory for it because you're the one that placed me here, God. Lord, I pray that you move in a mighty way. Lord, I pray you don't pass me by tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here in this place, God. I pray it don't just stop right here, Lord, but you'd call us to go, Lord, and we take it out to this community. We take it out to our homes and our families, Lord, and we take it out and we be a bright and shining light for you as you called us to be, Father. Lord, I pray that you keep us humble, Lord, that we'd seek your face and we'd have an intense zeal and desire for you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd move in a mighty way, Lord, that you'd heal our prayers, Lord, heal our land, Lord. Anybody that needs a touch from heaven tonight, God, I pray you provide it in the name of Jesus, God. I pray you meet them right where they're at, God, that you'd speak to them just as you have me this week, Father. Lord, Satan's been railing on me so much from every side, but he's not getting the glory and he's not going to get it tonight, Father. Lord, I give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, Lord Jesus, and I give you the glory because you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and you're not still on that cross, but you're rised again, Lord Jesus. Please move in a mighty way tonight, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for saving my soul, Lord, and making a way where there seems to be no way. Lord Jesus, I pray you move in a mighty way. It's in your holy, precious name I pray. Amen. It starts off tonight, and this man's asking Jesus, really rich man, you think he's got it all together, he's got all the money, anything he could possibly need, he could buy it. And he comes up to Jesus, and he says, "What good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus returns, and he's saying, "Well, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And the man said, "All these things I have kept from my youth up." And Jesus heard these things. And what did he say? "Yet thou lackest one thing." Tonight, Jesus wants every part of you. He don't want you to be one way on Sunday and another way through the week. He wants you to be all in for him tonight. He don't want you to straddle the fence, as Brother Bradley said the other night. "God laid this on my heart, and it's falling right in line like a big old puzzle piece." And tonight, God does not want us to straddle this fence. Jesus basically responds here. He says, "You know what is required, but you're avoiding what you need." You might be avoiding tonight. You might be having to do everything. You cannot do enough good to get to heaven. You cannot do enough good to get saved. You got to have that blood of Jesus applied to your life tonight. You got to let Jesus come inside of you and save your soul. You might be lacking one thing tonight. One thing. Don't let that one thing hold you back, because that one decision can determine your whole entire eternity. Tonight, you cannot take this lightly. You got to take it as the Lord's called you to do. Heaven is real, but even realer than that is hell. Hell is real. It's not just some place that people just can go have a good old time. It's not. That's nothing but a lie from Satan. Hell is a deep, dark, sorrowful place. There is no hope. And if you don't know Jesus tonight, you have no hope because you're turning away from him. You got to seek Jesus and have him in your heart tonight. Don't lack that one thing. Keep the main thing in your life. Keep Jesus in the center, because we're not good enough to go to heaven. We're not, but we can't live like the world and then live like Jesus on Sunday. It just don't work. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Jesus said it here in this book, this truth. You cannot serve God and serve Satan. It does not work. Time and time again, people are misled by the past that Satan tries to put in their life. You got to seek Jesus. Run to Jesus, because you can't serve Satan and then serve Jesus on Sunday. It does not work. You will never be happy and satisfied. That void in your life will never be filled until you come and you kneel at the feet of Jesus and accept him. You got to come to Jesus tonight. Whew. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't live your life one way in front of your friends or in front of your family and then a different way at church. If you're going to be a person, you need to be real. whether you're all of the world or not of the world. Because if you're going to be like Jesus, you don't need to just be Jesus in here. You don't just need to share Jesus in here. But you need to take it out to the world. You need to go and tell Jesus to this lost and dying world. That's what He's called us to do. Another example Brother Bradley used the other night that God's laid on my heart prior to this is Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. It says, oh, Lord, thank you. It says in chapter 15, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would work cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus Christ, He does not want complacency. If you're a child of God, you need to be all in for Him. You can't not just backslide anytime you want to. It's so easy, but you got to stay devoted to Jesus. You got to keep on keeping on for Him, because the same Jesus that you was all fired up for when you soon got saved is the same Jesus that's 10 years later when you got saved. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can backslide. And I pray that you stay right where God have you to be. And if you're backsliding tonight, come on home back to Him, because Jesus loves you so much He died for you. Don't turn your back on Him now. How are you living your life? Are you straddling the fence? Or are you all in and thirsty? We're going to turn to Psalm 63, verses 1 and 4. 1 through 4. And David wrote down here, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. If you're going to be all in and thirsty, you might have some questions. You might be like, Brother Garrett, if we're going to be all in for Jesus and we're going to be thirsty for Him, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be all in and thirsty for Jesus tonight? Well, it tells us here in this first verse, first we got to seek God. It says, early will I seek thee. We got to seek God every day. We got to set aside a time to read that word, to just ask God to fill us, Lord. We cannot just go and just make it a checklist. I'm guilty of that in my own life. And God's convicted me of that, and I got back right with Him. Don't let it be a checklist in your life. Let it be what motivates you to wake up every morning. Let it be what motivates you to tell this lost and dying world about Jesus. Because it's so dark, but right here is the answer. This is the word, this is the light of the world that we need to take out and tell about Jesus. We got to seek God. We got to not look at the world, but look to Jesus. We got to walk with Jesus. We got to talk with Him a long life's narrow way, because He's right there holding our hand whether we want Him to or not, because He's always seeking us, always pursuing us, whether you're saved or lost, because He loves us that much. Second, we got to long for Him. It says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Are you thirsty for Jesus tonight? When your throat's dry and you're outside mowing grass or something all day long, and you're sweating, just pouring out, and you're just wanting something to drink so bad, that Dr. Pepper's not going to satisfy that need. Neither is no Sprite or nothing else. But you want some water. I'm not a big fan of water. But when I'm thirsty, that's what I need to go to. Jesus says that He's the living water. He can be that living water in your life tonight. You got to long for Him. Have that intense desire like you're in a desert longing for water. This is what David says. And it just opened my eyes so much how many times I don't long for Jesus. I might look for Him, but while I'm not longing for Him, then why am I even doing anything? Because I'm not going to get nowhere. If I'm just looking for God, that's a good thing. But if you're not thirsting for Him, how are you going to grow? You can't grow with water. You plant a seed and just put it in the ground and ain't no water, it's not going to grow. When Jesus Christ plants that seed in your heart, you got to water it. You got to feed it with some fertilizer. Read His word daily. Let Him fill you up your cup and overflow. Do what it takes to get to Jesus. Be unashamed. Another question you might have tonight is why? Why would I want to be all in? Why would I want to be thirsty for Jesus? Because it's going to cost you something. It might cost you some family members. It might cost you some friends. And most of all, and it's a hard thing to say. It might cost you what you want to do, your lust of the flesh. It might cost you something that you desire so much more. But when Jesus comes into your heart, that desire you got to turn away from. You got to seek Jesus Christ. You got to desire Him over the things of this world. You got to seek Jesus Christ, because even though it's going to cost you something, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. James chapter 1, verse 12, you don't have to turn there. Blessed is the man who endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised him that love him. That's why you want to go and live your life for Jesus, so that one day when you get to heaven, you don't have to hang your head in shame because you know that you didn't live your life for Him. But you can keep your head held high and you can hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." How much of a blessing that'll be in your life. All the pain, all the suffering you walked through in your life, choosing Jesus over the things that you used to want in this world. Everything you felt like you missed out on, that day is going to be worth it. Heaven's going to be worth it. Jesus is worth it tonight. And why not come to Him tonight? Because life is like a vapor, here for a short time and gone the next. See, this breath in our lungs, Jesus Christ put it there, but it's only there for so long a time. We could die on the way home tonight. I could get in my car or truck and drive on and get in a wreck. Or this next second, I could just pass away right now. Who knows? Life is that short. It makes me think of a match. Not no, like, them fancy ones now that you just click and go light it up. I'm talking about like a box of matches given for like 96 cents at Walmart. But just a box of matches, old school. You get them things, they ain't about that big. But you go and strike that thing, and it burns. But what happens is, in about 30 seconds, if you don't let that thing go or get rid of it, it's going to burn you. That thing burns so quick, so fast. That's how quick life is, faster than that thing burning. That second, 1 minute you're here, and the next minute you're gone. So why not be all in for Jesus? Because you don't know. You can't say, "I'll push it off to tomorrow. I'll come to Jesus tomorrow," because He might not knock at that heart's door no longer. Tomorrow might never come. Then how sorrowful will you be? Because that one decision, that one awkward moment, you could have shared Jesus to somebody, that their life was gone forever because you didn't speak up for Jesus Christ. You had all the answers like this man did. You had the light in you. But you lacked one thing. You did not want to proclaim Jesus Christ. You wanted to keep Him to yourself and hide Him. How sorrowful will you be knowing that you just let somebody go to hell because you didn't even speak up for Jesus? It calls us to be bold and unashamed of His gospel. It's going to be tough, but you got to press on. You can't give up. Even when it's hopeless, God is there. Even when it's dark, God is there. But the thing is, when we're walking this life for Jesus Christ, and we come in this dark valley, we can't see a thing. We're just walking through here. And if we got Jesus, we're not walking aimlessly, because He's holding to our hand. He's leading us along. But we got to trust Him, or we ain't going to get nowhere. We're going to be like tires spinning in the mud. But if we're just trusting Jesus, and we're walking through this valley, and it seems so dark, and that mountain seems so high that we can't even get over it, and that valley's too wide, we can't cross it, we think it's hopeless. But child of God, tonight, maybe whatever you're going through, Jesus Christ is just moving that mountain one stone at a time. He may not just take you straight to the top, because how are you going to grow? He's going to take you through there. And though it seems so dark and so terrible for so long, He's going to keep giving you blessing, moving that rock, blessing after blessing, confirmation after confirmation, miracle after miracle. And He's going to move in your life. He has the best output and the best vision in mind for you tonight. Just trust in Jesus. Trust in Him. Because no matter how hopeless it is, He's always there. Now, I got me a cheap old little lantern. I don't have no fire. I ain't going to burn nothing down now. But had this thing, seen it pop off. Might not be no junk. We'll see. But I thought about our life with Jesus in them valleys. I asked you to cut the lights off, Brother Jake. Now, it's so dark in here. I'm going to walk around. I can't tell who's in that back corner or that corner or in the middle, for a matter of fact. I can't hardly see Brother JD right here if it wasn't for the cross. But, even though it seems so dark in our valley, what does the Bible say? His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light in our path. See if this thing will work, Lord willing. Ah! Oh! Let your light shine bright, or you won't see nothing. Ah, there we go. We'll make it work. Okay. So you see this light. I carry it, but we're just going to walk along. We're walking through here with this lantern. This lamp is God's word. We're walking through here. I can't see to that corner. I can't see back to that stage hardly, as dark as it is with my little light. But I can see one step in front of one step. I can see one step and one step. And that's a lot like trusting Jesus. Show this side. So dark, I can't see nothing. Just right in front of me. One step after one step after one step. That's like God moving that mountain one stone at a time. Even though we're going through that dark valley, it seems so hopeless. His word, if we just keep dwelling on it, he's going to guide us along. He's going to take us through one step at a time. It may not be easy, but it's going to be so worth it. Because he says that you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. But it also says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16, that's my life verse. That's what I try to live by. And if we're letting our little light shine, and somebody else behind us or beside us is shining their light for Jesus, wouldn't that make that path broader? It's going to guide us along, lead us right where Jesus would have us to be because we're in unity. One mind, one heart, one accord with Jesus Christ. And that cross is the only light that's going to shine through. Because if we're trusting Jesus, we're looking to the cross because Jesus was the man on the cross. And we're going to keep walking on. We're going to keep trusting. Because even though that valley seems so dark and so hopeless, he's going to get us through it. He don't want to show us the big picture. We can't handle what God's got for us. But he's going to take us one trial and one step at a time. I heard the story one time about this young lady. Her and her husband went to the beach, had a good old time. But something was troubling her soul. She had such an immense, heavy burden on her heart. And she just didn't know what to do. She's sitting there and pondering these things, asking God to just explain to her what he'd have her to do or what to do about it. And her husband, seeing that she's going through it, so he gave her some space and just kept an eye on her from a distance. Well, she felt led to just walk that shoreline. And she got to walking on through there, just thinking about God and the storm and everything going on in her life. She's seen all kinds of seaweed, all kinds of driftwood, all kinds of junk washed up on that beach. And it's just like from heaven. God was talking to her through the Holy Spirit and said, that's a lot like our lives. Because the day before, there was a storm that came to that beach and washed all that junk up there. So many times in our life, we might be in a storm. And it's washing and throwing all kinds of junk our way. But she said, praise God that we got a shelter. Because the Bible says that we're in Jesus' hands. But greater than that, his hand is in God's hands. So he is that shelter in that storm. When we go through them dark valleys, it seems so hopeless, so dark. Jesus is that light. He is that shelter in the time of that storm. And if you just trust him and you obey him, he's going to see you through. He's going to shelter you in that storm, shelter you in his arms. She continued walking on, and the Lord was speaking to her. She's like, she's a songwriter, and she asked God, well, how you like me to write this song? It's for your glory, not mine. And about that time, she felt a touch straight on her shoulder. And it's just brought such a peace and such a presence of God from her, all upon her. She said, all right, God, that's how we'll write it. The song goes a little bit like this. We all know it.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
How reassuring and how powerful that is in our own lives, that when the storm's coming, when Satan's so heavy, like he was all over me this week, coming against me with every side, with my family, with my friends, with life itself at school, and every single day of life, even trying to dry my throat up so I can't tell what Jesus had me to do tonight. Well, he didn't get the glory, because I'm sheltered in the arms of God, and his will prevails over all things. And ain't it good that the chorus goes on, and it says, so let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe in the arms of God. He walks with me, and none of earth shall harm me, for I'm safe within the arms of God. What kind of faith that is, to tell Satan, to tell this world and everything coming at us, you come at me, you come against me, because my God is greater. His shelter is stronger. His power is greater than anything that the devil can throw at you. Anything that this world can lie and bring against you, my God is greater. Jesus is greater, and he is enough. He paid that price for you and me. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I've read it earlier this week, but God laid it on my heart. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. If we want God to move tonight, we got to get in our humble estate. We got to get down on our knees before an almighty God. We got to beg him to move. We got to seek his face in everything, just as David did in Psalm 63. We got to turn from our wicked ways. We're going this way. And we pull a 180, not a 360, because we're not going back to it. But we're going to keep going for Jesus. Keep going where he'd have us to go. We're going to stand strong in our faith, because he is that shelter in our storm. And we're going to hear from heaven, and he's going to forgive our sin, and he will reach down and touch your need tonight. Whatever you got a need in your life, my God's greater. So how are you living your life tonight? Are you on the fence? Are you one way for Jesus one time and another another? Or are you all in for Jesus, thirsting for him and trusting him through the storms? But finally, are you living your life where you don't want nothing to do with Jesus? You done had enough. Up here you're saying, you just a Jesus freak. I don't want no part of it. I'd rather be lost than I would be to sacrifice anything in my own life. Well, there's still hope for you tonight, because there's still breath in them lungs. But Satan will tell you. He'll say, you're not good enough to go to heaven. You're not good enough to be saved. You've done too much wrong, too much sin in your past. But I'm here to say tonight that that might be true. But in yourself, that's true. Because in yourself, you have done too much wrong. You are not good enough to get to heaven. But praise God, he made a way. I'm just going to take a minute. I'm going to tell you about that way. Somebody might not know it tonight. Jesus Christ was born. He came willingly to earth. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he came willingly to earth, lived a sinless, perfect life. Did he go through trials and tribulations? You bet he did, because he was 100% God. He's also 100% man. So anything you think you're going through or could go through, he went through it first. And no matter what, he came and he persevered through it. He performed all these miracles in the name of God for his glory. He's the Father. And he lived his life on this earth for 33 years, knowing that the time would come when he would be crucified. He would be turned away from. He would be ridiculed and mocked. And Luke, if you'll turn there, Luke 23, verses 18. It came to the time, and Jesus stood before the crowd, and they brought out Barnabas. Here in verse 18, it says, "And they cried out all at once, saying, 'Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas.'" Barabbas was this sin-filled criminal. If you looked at him, there was no good in him. You'd be crazy to want to let him loose. But the people that day were wanting to let him loose in place of a man who lived a sinless, perfect life. When Jesus knew that he's going to be and go die for us. But the next part really hit me. In verse 21, it says, "But they cried, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" Tonight, no matter if you're saved or you're lost, one time in your life, you was Barabbas. You were that sinful criminal. You might be tonight. One time in your life, we were no better than that crowd saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. But one time in my life before Jesus, I wanted him dead. That's how I lived my life, filled with sin. I didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. I wanted to be all about myself, what I wanted to do. I turned away from God, and I said, "Crucify him, crucify him." So Jesus went on, and he took the punishment that we deserve. I don't think no words, no adjectives can fully describe what Jesus went through on that day. He was mocked. That was the least of his worries. But he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. And as Brother J.D. told us Sunday night, when that whipped him with it, it stuck in the skin. And they yanked it out. And all his blood was flowing out. He was beaten beyond recognition. You could not tell that he was even human. We see Jesus on the cross in all these pictures and paintings. It cannot compare to the true suffering that he went through for you and for me. Jesus Christ loves us that much that he took that punishment. A crown of thorns was pressed upon his head. Not just laid, but pressed upon it. As the blood flowed down, he was thinking how much I love them. As they mocked him, they put that scarlet robe on him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," when they nailed it upon that cross. With all of his blood flowing, he was weak. And that cross was real heavy when they put it on his shoulders. I looked it up. It was around 300 pounds or more. And as he toted that cross, inch by inch, because he was beaten so badly, I can't stress that enough, that he could barely even walk. He was toting that cross. Everything he did was for you and was for me. Listen tonight. Jesus loved you that much. Every single thing that he did, the blood, giving his life for you, he loved you that much. We're so unworthy of that mercy. I'm so unworthy of it. Who am I to call Jesus my Father, my Savior? Who am I to even be worthy of being saved? My righteousness is as filthy rags. That's all I'll ever be. But the blood of Jesus Christ, just one drop of his blood was enough to wash me clean. My righteousness is filthy rags, but I'm clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, it might be true that in yourself, you're not good enough to get to heaven. You're not good enough to be saved. But through the blood of Jesus, he made a way where there seemed to be no way. Jesus loved you that much. Why would you not want to live for him? Why would you not want to come and bow at his feet and give your life to him? Why would you not want to live for Jesus? He went through all that because he loved you. While he was on that cross, you were on his mind. I was on his mind. All throughout history, he took the weight of our sin on his shoulders. He sweat blood. And Jesus Christ took that price all because he loved you and he loved me that much. Before we were even born, he loved us that much. He loved the ones that were beating him enough to die for them too. Think about that. If someone beat me up, I wouldn't think too much about it. I wouldn't care about them too much. But Jesus loved them anyways. The two thieves on the cross, they were nailed right beside him. Both of them. They deserved what they got. They were both criminals and they knew it. But in that moment, one of them, even when Jesus was on the cross, he was still being a witness. And that one got his eyes open. And he knew who Jesus was. And he knew that he's the Savior of the world. And he truly was who he said he was. Who he says he is. And he begged Jesus. He said, "Can I be with thee? Remember me when you get to heaven." Paraphrasing. And Jesus said, "Today, not tomorrow, not a week from now, but today you will be with me in paradise." That same principle can be applied to our lives today. Which thief are you? Are you the one that once was mocking Jesus? The one that once said, "Crucify him"? The one who once lived their life in sin, but turned their life over to Jesus Christ? Or are you that one that never gave your life to Jesus, who had no hope? He had no peace. And he will forever live in a devil's hell. Tonight, I love every single one of y'all so much. I'm not lying to you. I love you too much and I care too much about your eternity to lie to you, to stand up here and tell you something that's not true. Jesus loved you more than that. He's the one that died for you tonight. Who are we to live our lives filled with sin of what we want to do? To be hypocrites, to be fake Christians, to be those who wants to live for Jesus on Sunday but live like the world during the week. Where are the people of God tonight who are going to stand upon that word, take it out to the highways and the byways? Where are the people of God who are all in, who are thirsty for Jesus? Where are you at tonight? Are you all in for Jesus? Or are you on the fence? Because if you're on the fence, you might as well be lost. Or do you not know Jesus at all? But if you don't know him, tonight can be the night. It's not over yet. There's still breath in your lungs. And in Romans 10 verse 9, this is one of my favorite verses because this is how I came to Jesus. I was broken and I was a mess and there was no good in me. But Jesus Christ made the way. And this right here is how you get there. You get to that old altar right there. You kneel before an almighty God. And right here, chapter 10, verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Not thou might be saved, but thou shalt be saved. That means right there in that moment, right at your lowest estate, when you're in full surrender to God, he's going to meet you right there. It's not going to be a week from now, a day from now, but right there in that moment, he's going to meet you. He'll meet you there, and it's whoever will come can. Because chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Tonight, we all are whosoever's. Anybody who will, let him come. Come to Jesus. Come and know him. You can be saved tonight. Don't live your life in a lie. If he's knocking on your heart tonight, don't leave without opening the door. Because he might never knock again, and you don't want that. Please, please come to Jesus. If you want revival, get on fire for God. It don't matter if you're saved or lost. You can still talk to him. That's why he made the way through prayer, making intercession through Jesus. He loved us that much that he suffered it all for you and me. Let us pray. Father God, I come to you right now. Lord, and I pray right now that you'd make a message out of this mess, Lord. And I pray that you get the glory, Lord, because I preach what you laid on my heart so heavy, God. I don't know how else to say it, Lord, but they just need to come to you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd reach down in somebody's life, their darkest valley, Lord, and you'd bring them on through, that you'd strengthen and you'd uphold them with your right hand, God. Lord, I pray tonight if there's somebody that don't know you, Lord, please save them, God. Let them not leave lost, Lord. Let them open that door that you're knocking on, Lord. Let them accept you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you move in a mighty way, that you'd break chains and you change lives tonight, Lord. And I pray your will would be done and we'd be the light that you called us to be tonight. Lord, I love you and I thank you and I praise you. Thank you for Jesus and the blood he shed for me. Thank you for saving my soul. It's in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name I pray. Amen.